This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Dystopical. It feels like it's been a while since I've been here, but it's really only been 2 weeks. So we wanted to welcome you back to Dystopical, a debate reflection on what matters to queer women in the community. We're always going to be honest and we're always going to tell you what we think, but let us always just say it's our opinion. And if you differ, let us know, please.
So welcome back, Farin. Hi, everyone. I'm Kat. And tonight we're actually also going to be talking to the lovely Rebecca about lesbians and bisexual women in the community. Rebecca identifies as bisexual. She's also really new to the Melbourne scene. She joins us all the way from Vancouver, Canada.
Exotic.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
And so we're going to... Oh, so if you want to talk to us at any point during the show, you can text us at 0427 Joy 94.9, Facebook us at Dystopical, or email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com or dystopical@joy.org.au. And just to remind you, it's DYSTOPICAL.
But before we weigh in on the conversation and debate about sometimes it feels like lesbians versus bisexual women, first of all, we're going to go to a song. And now we're going to be talking about issues to do with lesbianism and also bisexual women. We're aware of the fact that there can be quite a lot of stereotyping and bad blood in the community about bisexuals. So I thought to start with, and I think Farin said this before, we can only ever really talk about things from our own point of view and our own experiences. So we're going to talk about our formative experiences as queer women, and you know, whether or not how we identify, whether it's bisexual, gay, etc., etc., how it came about and where it's at now. So, Farin, I think you volunteered to go first.
So I remember the first time I had a crush, it was on a boy. And the second time I had a crush, it was on a girl. And it was a really, really big crush. And no one else ever had crushes on girls at the same time that I had crushes on girls. But what they did was they kissed other girls just to, like, be fun and, like, make it flirty. And I always really, really resented that. And then I was attracted to boys again and then girls at some point. And then I slept with a drag queen. And then it just got really, really fuzzy after that. I buy? Well, I don't know. Like, I'm really into men that look like women, and women look like men, and women that look like women, and men that look like men. So it's really, really hard to put yourself in, I think, any category, but I think people ask you to. And you have to do that and say, I'm bi, I'm straight, I'm gay, and none of those things really fit.
So you feel like you're beholden to label yourself?
Well, I think that people expect you to label yourself, and until you realize that you don't have to, you do.
Okay, and so, well, where do you think you kind of fit now? Like, how do you identify?
I am who I am.
You're refusing labels?
No, I'm just saying that I don't think that any of them fit easily with me. I don't think that the word bisexual fits for me, but it might fit for other people. Don't think that it necessarily, I don't know, I guess it just doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. Okay, well, that's interesting because I feel like I'm a little bit more traditional and old school. I mean, I'd like to say that I was pansexual and that, you know, anything goes, but that's not actually how I'm made, so.
Because when people use the word pansexual, it almost makes you feel like I'll do anything or anyone. And I know that's not true, but pansexual, what's the difference between pansexual, bisexual?
Well, I think pansexual queer means that it's not really the gender Look, I'm actually not an expert, but let's just get that out of the way right now. So moving right along.
Hi, we're talking about really big words and we don't really know the meaning of them.
Yeah.
I never heard the term pansexual till very recent. Actually, I think you introduced it to me, Kat.
Oh, great.
We were having one.
Because no, I'm
we were
such an expert.
One night. No, and I just was like, what's that? You know.
Okay, well, I'm just going to talk about something I know, which is, hey, myself. So here we go.
You do that very well, darling.
Thank you. So I found it really interesting what you were saying, Farin, because I'm quite different. I started off thinking I was gay at about 12, and then I was so completely horrified by the prospect of actually being gay that I avoided it for quite a long time. I never got quite as much into the Catholic self-repression and guilt as to identify as straight. I always publicly identified as bisexual, if anyone asked, but I always looked straight and, you know, pretty much dated men. And then in my 20s, I slept with a few women and swore that I would never do it again because they just break your heart and, you know, piss off and leave you. And then it wasn't actually until I was in my early 30s that I realised I was gay. So as open-minded as I guess I kind of was, at least in terms of labels, saying I was bisexual, I don't think I ever actually have been. I think I've been gay pretty much my whole life, and that's definitely how I identify now. I mean, I certainly in terms of sex, there are certain aspects of queer sex. You know, I've slept with trans people of both persuasions, and I found that pretty interesting. But generally speaking, I'm interested in women and men just don't really do it for me.
And Rebecca, you've been awfully quiet. Do tell us what you think.
Well, my own personal experience, I mean, like, I would say my, like, foray into bisexuality probably started, like, right around the time that I was actually kind of just experimenting sexually. I started a bit younger. I was 14 when I lost my virginity, and I hung out with, you know, these very kind of, like, alternative artsy types when I was that age, and I remember there was a girl who was like best friends with my boyfriend at the time, and you know, we got drunk at a party and she and I ended up making out, and I was kind of like, huh, that was fun. And you know, and then it was just one of those things that, like, as you're a teenager and, you know, like, I was always kind of on the periphery and into the whole, like, edgy, you know, wanting to be, like, I was different because I was a bit weird, and so, you know, I was exploring all
this. I don't believe that for a second.
Me, never. No, I was a cheerleader. I went out with a quarterback.
I bet you were.
You know, went to church. No.
So the reason you were a cheerleader is because of the skirts on the other chicks?
Totally. Yeah, I don't even think my high school had cheerleaders. But yeah, no, I was always, like, a little bit, you know, edgy and alternative. And so, like, all, you know, things like being bisexual was one of those kind of things that I never really thought about it. And then I remember being about 17, and I had some very close friendships with females, and I had this one friend in particular who I basically had a really huge crush on. And she kind of came out and was like, yeah, I think I'm bi. And I was like, yeah, I think so too.
I want to be what you are.
I know, exactly. Well, yeah, but I mean, and that was the thing. And I was an artist at the time, and I still am, I guess. And I was doing a lot of photography, and I was, like, really experimenting with, like, pushing the boundaries to, like, piss off my principal. And
right. So actually, you're not attracted to women. You're just rebellious about
basically,
your,
I'm
the head of your school.
But yeah, no, it was that, like, I realized that, like, I'd never really known anything different. Like, I always was really attracted to guys, and I was always really attracted to girls. And then it was kind of like when I got older, I was like, oh, I can identify as being interested in both. And then you go to university, and everybody has sexual experimentation, you know, when they're in college.
I didn't. I actually was really geeky at university.
I was geeky, and I was actually in a monogamous relationship for a very long time, but I was, like, involved in all the little student groups and everything.
That's very geeky.
Yeah. It really is. But, yeah, I mean, I remember meeting this one girl when I was probably about 19, and she was probably the most gorgeous thing ever, and, you know, she was also bisexual, and I think it was, like, my sexuality was influenced by really powerful women I surrounded myself with.
But I think of worse things than that to have my sexuality influenced by.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was one of those things that really was, I was discovering myself sexually as a person. I think that kind of just became hand in hand.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's really interesting. Look, I would actually, I think after the next song, I'm going to ask you some more invasive questions about your
just
sexuality.
Be gentle.
Oh my god.
Never.
Girls.
That's never going to happen. Now, the next section of Dystopical, and welcome back. We're talking about lesbians and bisexual women. We're going to be talking to Rebecca about her experiences identifying as a bisexual woman, especially because she's also just moved to Melbourne.
So you have probably been out on the scene in Melbourne now and several mm-hmm. other Australian cities, Vancouver, I'm not sure where else. What do you think is the difference between the scenes? Like, how accepted are bisexual women in these different cities? Is there a difference?
I mean, every major city you ever go to is obviously going to be much more open-minded than a smaller town. Like, I was up in Byron Bay for 3 months, and I mean, what scene is kind of the thing there.
Byron, we don't hate you.
We don't hate you at all. But no, I mean, like, it's a small community, and it's not very, you know, I didn't really see much of a scene. Vancouver, I really was, I mean, I lived just off Commercial Drive, which is kind of the lesbian neighborhood.
Oh, my God, Vancouver. I live there, too. Granola and Birkenstocks.
Exactly.
That's the way it worked around there.
and vegans and, you know, I mean, like, at the end of the street is this wonderful store of sex toys. Where it's called Women's Wares.
Mm.
It's got the, you know, the women with spelt with a Y, of course.
I got my tattoos right above there.
Oh, at Electro Lady Lux.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, like, so it is...
Why do I know so many Canadians?
Because we're awesome.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's funny though. Living in like the lesbian neighborhood, I didn't really have much exposure to it. I worked in a different area, and I mean, I used to live in the gayborhood as well on Davie Street.
The gayborhood.
There are rainbow flags.
The bus stops are painted pink.
Wow.
Yeah. And
so coming from that, mm-hmm. what was it like becoming involved in the scene here in Melbourne, and how did that happen?
It was basically I moved into a house with when I got down here, I moved into a house full of wonderful lesbian women, and it was funny. I obviously didn't know that at first when I was coming down, and it was put together for me through a friend of a friend, and I think I'd seen a status post on Facebook, and I was like, I wonder if they're gay or bisexual. And I realized that it was just very exciting. And it was just kind of nice to kind of get back to it and to be around that sort of community and everything.
So do you think that sexuality here is more of an issue than it was over there?
You mean in, as opposed to Vancouver?
Oh, wherever. Like, is it an issue that you identify, and do you identify as bisexual?
I do, yes. I definitely identify as bisexual. In terms of, I don't know, I guess my own sexuality's never really been a huge issue in my life. I've never felt a need to be included or excluded. I kind of just, I'm around, you know, straights and so on, and I mean gays as well, and in Melbourne it's just been, I mean, it's been nice. I really like Fitzroy and how it is a much more inclusive neighborhood, I find
that. Yeah.
Whereas like as you know, I was saying about Vancouver, you've got the gayborhood, which is gay men, and then you've got, you know, Commercial Drive, which is lesbian women, and they don't really mix with each other, whereas Fitzroy is a very like diverse neighborhood in terms of that, like it's a wide range of everybody all kind of mixing together, which is, it's really refreshing, actually.
Okay, great. So you've said some pretty positive things, which is awesome, Beck. But have you had any negative experiences being bisexual? I mean, here or anywhere else?
Yeah, I mean, like, by no means have I ever had anything like a lot of my gay friends or lesbian friends have experienced, in terms of like really, you know, the oppression and the horrible things that people do when they're ignorant. My own personal negative experiences have always kind of involved just like I was involved with a woman for a while, and the majority of our relationship problems really came down to the fact of my sexuality more than anything.
Really? Why is that?
Well, at the end of the day, it was just lesbians, I have a very difficult time trusting someone who's bisexual. Straight people don't. I mean, straight guys don't care. They get excited. They think, and which I always think is really hilarious, because that doesn't mean, you know, because I like to have sex with women doesn't mean you get to watch.
So
that's a really good point.
Yeah.
When you're out at a bar somewhere, yeah, or talking to someone, do you ever have to, do you come out as bisexual, or you're like, hi, I'm bisexual?
Normally, if I say
something, as opposed to "Hi, I'm Rebecca."
Yeah, exactly. Normally, if I say something offensive, you know, when you ever use a slang term that you're not supposed to, it's not like when you're of another race and you know you can get away. It's like, it's okay, I'm black, I can say that. No, it's
So, for example, if you use the word "dyke," do you find that lesbians turn around and glare at you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or straight people? No. It's not lesbians. It's straight people. They're the ones who are more sensitive to it. They're like, you can't say that's offensive. It's like, it's okay, I sleep with chicks too. I'm allowed to say that. I'm halfway there.
But do you feel like you're only ever halfway there? Like, do you feel accepted?
No, not terribly. I mean, it's situation specific. Obviously, with my lesbian friends and the women I've been involved with, particularly in Melbourne, you guys are awesome. They've been really inclusive. But in my experience, I mean, probably one of the reasons I haven't been really involved in Vancouver is because there is this distrust, this idea that like you're fake. You know, it's like it's like. Well, you know, straight guys get excited because it means that they might get to see, you know, their girlfriend do a girl. Like lesbians sit there and they're like, well, you can't possibly, like, you can only like one or the other. And I think that's so funny. I remember once making a comment to somebody that I just, you know, I love who I love, and I just could never imagine something like gender getting in the way of that. I just love people, you know, like, and, I guess I don't feel the need to identify myself. It's one of those things that, you know, because I like both sexes, it never really comes up. You know, so when I'm talking to a guy and I'm flirting with him, it works out. You know, and then if I'm talking to a lesbian and flirting, they probably hopefully figure it out.
And so, have you felt like you're gonna, like, that you fit into the lesbian or the queer scene here? Like, what kind of women are you into? And well, do you think it's, like, where do you feel like you fit on the spectrum of queer?
That's always such a hard topic. I mean, I'm really picky when it comes to women. So it's kind of like I was actually having a conversation with someone today, and they're like, have you, you know, they're like, well, so you've been with like equal amount of men and women? I'm like, well, no, because men are easier. They're there, and what a straight guy wants, it's pretty obvious. Whereas women, like, I'm not really attracted to very butchy women. Like, I'm really into femmes. And the thing is, most femmes are not into, I'm a femme as well. So maybe this all goes down to some deeper narcissistic thing, but
maybe.
I'm losing my train of thought. No, it's that I find difficulty finding women who I'm attracted to who are attracted back to me.
Really?
Yeah, it is a bit more difficult because, I mean, there's always that pairing of kind of the butch and femmes. It's not often you see femmes and femmes together. In my experience, at least.
Yeah, no, well, in my experience as well, but it's interesting because it's such a stereotype, and, mm-hmm, and we like to pretend that stereotypes don't really exist. If you have different experiences, feel free to SMS us on 0427-JOY-949, email us at onair@joy.org.au or dystopical@joy.org.au. And thank you, Rebecca. We are going to cut to a song now, and we'll be back to talk to you a little bit more later. And welcome back to Dystopical. Tonight we're talking about lesbians and bisexual women. The last song that you heard was Push It by Salt and Pepper, as if you didn't know that.
Oh, always a favorite. And well featured on our show from now on in. So we're just going to move on a little bit and talk about the stigma, the perceptions, all the naughtiness the way that we perceive bisexual women, real or not real experienced or, you know, however. And I guess the stats do show that consistently, bisexual women have lower mental, physical health and well-being than lesbian women or straight women. And
really? That must actually be really horrible.
Ooh, yeah. Less sort of affiliations with community. So obviously there's this feeling of being stuck between different worlds, and words I've heard people describe bisexual women as are greedy, undecided, dirty, just fashionable, and reinforcing gender binaries between either you like men or you like women. I know that you want to say something.
No. I'm still kind of reeling from the like lower mental thing. I was like, damn.
That explains so much.
No, I think the most frustrating thing that I experience, obviously I have this debate all the time among straights and gays or lesbians, is that I think it's ridiculous. What frustrates me most about the lesbian, gay, trans community is that how we put just as many labels on everything as the straight community that we're fighting against.
It's interesting you say that, because when we were, Max and Ben and I were talking last week about the scene, and we were saying that we feel like we get together as a group because we feel so excluded, but then we get together and we exclude each other and judge each other.
Exactly.
It's kind of weird. It's like you're not queer in the same way as me, so you don't count.
You're always having to prove yourself and part of the cool club. So I just find it funny that, you know, you have this community of people that have been, you know, repressed and excluded, and then we're doing just exactly the same thing. Really, and just, you know, picking on everybody for something. I understand the frustration that many lesbians feel towards bisexual women, because probably, I mean, I don't have statistics in front of me, but more often than not, the bisexual women will turn to men. It's easier. They're there, and that's the thing. And it's like, because you are also faced very often with this skepticism.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, my one really negative experience was a relationship I had with a woman who was obsessed with the fact that I was going to leave her for a man, which was really funny because I left a man for her.
Wow, and she was still paranoid about it.
Exactly, and it was just like, you know, you just kind of reinforce that to someone. You're like, I left a penis for you, kind of thing, and like it's. Oh, and it's, I don't know, it was just like, it was incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, I bet.
And I guess the thing is that whoever you are, you can't really experience someone else's desire. So if you're a woman that loves women and men, it's quite different from being a woman that just loves women. And we can't really put each other, you know, there are some beautiful things about each gender and every sex and everything in between. And I don't think that's necessarily something that everyone appreciates.
Yeah, I find it really interesting that we try, like, politically and morally, ethically, we try and escape from, you know, a society and find a safe place away from somewhere that judges us because they can't experience what we experience. But then as soon as we're faced with someone else who doesn't experience exactly what we experience, then we judge them too. So it's like we make a carbon copy of the bad things that we experience in normal society.
I think it's just
place
something
it onto
about
anyone who isn't us.
I think it's just something about normativity and, you know, trying to belong and all be the same in some way.
I think that's a really good point.
Bisexuals are freaks.
You're all right, Rebecca.
Oh, thanks.
All right,
I can stay.
Yeah, you can stay. We're going to cut to a song now.
And we're back. Thank you for listening in to Dystopical. And you were just listening to The Gossip with Heavy Cross.
So we have a regular section on the show, which is called Dear Dystopical. So this is when, you know, we talk about things that people have written in about or questions that our friends have had during the week. And I think Fareen's going to handle this tonight. And obviously, you know, it's on topic. It's about bisexual women and lesbians. So what have you got for us, Fareen?
Well, I've just sort of been trolling the lesbian websites and purely for research purposes, of course.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Naturally. I was just doing research.
And found this actually really, really long and involved thread on Pink Sofa from on a topic called Bi is Not Wanted Here.
Oh, really?
No kidding. And then and it weighs in either way. Bi is, you know, seeking women, lesbians calling bi's dirty, and, you know, just waiting around until the right man comes along. But we've all had experiences on either side of this fence. And I had someone, a friend, write in earlier that she's had two very bad experiences with women, both who were bisexual and who were messing around with her until they found their true man. So she says it's hard not to develop a stigma there.
I think that's It's really funny how, I mean, we're just giving gender so much credit, really, I think, in that experience. Would she still be as jaded if it was the case of these, you know, women were toying around with her until they found their perfect woman?
I don't know. I had an experience in my mid-20s where I fell really hard for this girl. I think I was about 24 at the time and, you know, pretending I wasn't really into that stuff. But she was actually... Well, she said she was bisexual, but I don't know, I have to believe that she was straight. Anyway, like she kind of left me for this really geeky and, let's face it, not even that attractive guy. And I was devastated. I swore, like I just felt so inadequate. Like I could never compete with that just for the simple fact that I wasn't a man. And I didn't ever want to be him because, like, yuck. But anyway, she chose him, and I swore I would never sleep with women again because they're just horrible.
What happened?
Oh, got over it.
Well, I mean, I had a point, and it just kind of went away in my head. No, I think when it comes down to situations like that, like when you're going to be devastated if you're left by anybody, and throwing the gender card into it. I mean, yeah, you may not have understood. I've been left by people for people. I kind of sit back and I look and I go, I'm like, really? She's like a two, man. You know? Like,
bitch.
Come on. And
yes,
yeah, well.
So let's throw women hating into and rating them out of 10 on the show. That's what we do here, actually.
No, but
God, you're a two.
I am terrible. I'm really, really awful. I guess it's just, I mean, my own, I mean, I can only speak for myself. And that I've been with both, and I've left both for either sex. And I do understand the stigma, because there are those girls who are out there and who are experimenting. Absolutely. Like a very good friend of mine and back home, we have a joke, you know, someone who's bi for attention. Because, you know, you do have those chicks will make out with other chicks for a shot
at the bar.
Bar.
Yeah. And, but it's actually for guys.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's different. So...
I have to just bring in a little bit of audience feedback here. And the same person that wrote in earlier says, if those bi women knew they weren't interested in having a female partner, why were they with me at all and told me that they love me? If they were actually wanting to be with women, at least I would stand a chance in the first place. Beck.
Fix this.
Okay, so
go
well,
now.
So they're basically the situation is they're telling this individual that they love her and everything, but it turns out to be a big lie. Well, is that?
Well, or it turns out that they end up choosing to marry or be with men permanently after being with her.
I think really interesting. Well, I mean, it's everybody's different. It's like people like Kat, you came out when you were 30. Sometimes you just come to these realizations, and it takes a lot of steps, and it's really unfortunate that. hearts get broken along the way, but self...
Not to mention my two husbands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's like, I mean, I'm sure some of them have written some bad poetry.
I'll have you know they write very good poetry.
Oh, okay. Well, yep. That wasn't like a jab at anyone. It was just, that's always my joke is, you know, it's like, oh, he's going to make me write bad poetry. But,
worst nightmare, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, there's a very famous... example is Ani DeFranco, who's a very famous folk singer. She,
yeah, we know her because we're gay.
I know. Well,
yep.
Bisexual.
Bisexual. But she pissed off all her fans because she married a man.
Yeah,
as well. And there
this,
was,
yep.
you know, there yep. was this whole drama around that. And I mean, it's such a heavy topic. I can't explain it. I can't excuse shitty people of either gender.
I think that's a really good point. Look, we're running out of time here, so we're going to play a track, and then we're going to come back, wind up, and talk to you about next week's show.
Thank you very much. And you have been listening to Dystopical, and that was Deborah Harry with I Want That Man.
I've always loved that song.
I know, that was your pick, not mine. Just to let you know what's going on this week, I've been noticing a lot of calls for club, soccer, cycling, racing, the pink ribbon ride on pink sofa. So obviously women are a little disturbed about their winter figures and wanting to jump into sports for spring. So join one of those clubs. Also this week, Libation Friday, 8 p.m. is hosting Fangtasia.
Oh, that sounds really good.
A theme party with all your favorite True Blood characters. So do dress up and go along. And next week's show, we'll be talking about... I can't even say this. It's making me blush.
Go on, you can do it. I've prepped you for this. Go, friend.
Lesbians,
do it now.
Lesbians and...
Yes, next week we're going to be talking about lesbians and porn. Now, this this is something that Farine and I have thought about.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.